definitely want to welcome you guys to another installment of the Weird Pastors Kid podcast. I have a special guest on the podcast today. I'm super excited for her to share her story. Go ahead and introduce the people to who you are. Go ahead.
Hello, I am Amber Peterson. I knew Shelton in college for a year or two.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you knew this, Shelton, but the first memory I have with you in college. I was supposed to be opening Carter's, the snack shop, and you were the security guard to walk me across the street.
But
I walked down and you were sound asleep.
Oh my goodness.
I woke him up, he looked so peaceful. So I just went and he said, "No, you're never supposed to do that." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
So yes, I was supposed to do my job, guys, and I was sleeping. So that was her first introduction to me. Oh my soul, that's terrible. Oh my soul. Yes, so this is so I'm new. We went to a college together. So we've known each other that way. So even and in the college we went to, it was a Christian college. We were doing that thing. So both have been involved in like Christian ministries, doing Christian things and everything like for, you know, a long time, for a while. And so like, Amber, like, when did you like, I don't know, like, and to be honest, this will be the first time I'm really knowing this about you. Like, did you grow up in church? Did your family always go to church all the time when you were younger? Like, what's your like relationship like with church in general?
I started going to church 9 months before I was born, pretty much. My dad's been a pastor pretty much my whole life. Oh. I was homeschooled with a Christian curriculum, grew up going to church, went to a Christian college. That was my world. I was very heavily involved in everything from music to bus route to nursery, you name it.
So how many years would you say that you've been going to like your church and doing going to churches pretty much? Like how many years would you say? Like basically your whole life, right?
I'm 23, so around 23 years.
All right, so 23 years of your life, you've been invested in church, been invested in ministry, been invested in, like, just Christian culture and Christian living, like, basically how America does this Christianity thing. You've grown up with it for all of your life, right? Okay. So growing up with it your entire life, and I didn't even know you were a pastor's kid, so... Yes, so this is a very safe space for you on the Weird Pastors Kid podcast, okay? So that's great. Now, you've been doing this church thing for a long time and doing it, you know, consistently, going to church all the time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, going to Christian college. So let me rewind just a little bit before I kind of get where I want to go. What was the reason or what led you to going, going to homeschool, graduating from homeschool, and then going to your Christian college? So what kind of led you and prompted you to go to the Christian college that we met each other at?
I used their homeschool curriculum all the way through.
Oh.
And I was looking for colleges and realized, oh, this place has their own college. Let me check into this. And that's just where we wound up.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, I didn't even know you used their curriculum. Okay, that makes sense. All right. So you said, okay, this is the Christian college I went to. I've grown up, you know, went to do the homeschool thing, and I decided to go there. So, okay, cool. I didn't know that. So then what was the – because I think for a lot of people, the reason why they started seeing or noticing some things or started disagreeing with some things in, like, American churches, American Christianity, it kind of starts off kind of slowly. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes not always all at once, but sometimes a little bit slowly. So what was your personal experience of where you began to go, you know what, I don't know if everything that I grew up with, I kind of 100% believe or agree with. What do you know what like kind of started that for you?
Yeah. On and off growing up, I questioned occasionally, like, oh, wait, I'm reading the Bible and I don't see this doctrine that everyone's always talking about. But I pushed it down like, no, it must be there somewhere. I'll look more later. Got to be the good girl.
Yeah.
But then I got married and my husband and I both started talking about some of those things. And he's like, yeah, I've been thinking that too. So we studied it out together and kind of came to the belief that, hey, I don't think one of these major doctrines is correct. Mm. And then I went to, back up a little bit. We came to that total conclusion and that kind of hit the big story that knocked me out of religion in general, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We were both working, teaching school at that same church I was going to,
Yeah.
Part of our contract said that if you ever believe something that goes against what the church teaches, you need to go to your principal, tell him, and accept whatever happens up to unemployment.
Wow.
We're both going, okay, we're both teaching here. We've only been married a couple months. We're not exactly financially stable. We don't want to lose our jobs.
Right.
But is it right to continue doing this knowing that they would not want us there knowing what we believe?
Wow.
So we fought God on it for several months. Then one day, Caleb, my husband, was in the office doing something else, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just grabbed me and shoved me into that office.
Wow.
So he sat down with the principal, basically told him, okay, this is what I've come to believe on certain topics. I know it doesn't line up, and I know the contracts that I had to come tell you. He said, thank you for coming. Thank you for your bravery and your honesty. Finish out today, but don't come back tomorrow.
Wow.
So then I'm left going, what do I do now?
Yeah.
I'm our only income now, but I know how they're going to react. I know I believe the exact same thing. So I went to my mom and asked her, what should I do? She was shocked that I'm differing in beliefs. And she said, just lay low, get through the school year, and then leave quietly. So I really wanted to do that. I agonized for several days over it. But finally, I was like, no, I have to do the right thing. I got to go talk to him about it. So I walked into the office expecting a reaction like Caleb got, right?
Right.
I barely got through. I no longer believe in this. I believe like Caleb does. And the principal flipped out. He started yelling at me, saying things like, oh, you're a disgrace to your family and to the church and to the school.
What?
Yep. He said, you must be a horrible teacher who doesn't care at all about your students. Get through the day and don't come back tomorrow. Don't come back ever.
Wow.
It was awful. And I taught kindergarten, so I had to go through the day acting like, oh, everything's fine. Tell them later, near the end of the day, hey, I'm not going to be your teacher anymore. I don't know who will be, but they'll find somebody good for you.
Oh,
and
wow.
Listen to them crying, saying, why are you leaving? Where are you going? Don't you love us anymore?
Oh, my goodness.
It was rough.
Okay. So, man, I didn't know any of that. So let me look. Okay. So let's rewind for just a second. All right. What, because I kind of know, I guess you told me some, okay, but not like all of it or what led you or what you're believing now. So what is something that you're believing now that's different than where we grew up believing?
The thing that sparked all of this, have you heard of annihilationism?
Annihilationism. Oh yeah, a little bit, like not much. Okay, because so you're gonna have to not only teach me, but try to really teach the listeners that are listening to as well what you know all, that whole belief system.
Basically, it states that there is no intrinsically immortal soul, that you don't have some part of you that's going to magically live on after you die in one place or another, like modern Christianity teaches.
Okay.
So if you get saved, so to speak, you trust the Messiah, you accept him, he gives you life after death.
Right.
But if you don't, if you die without ever accepting him and doing that, there's probably some just punishment for sins committed, but it's not an eternal fiery torment that never ends.
Gotcha. So now, because I've known people that believe this. So essentially, you believe that where someone that doesn't believe in Christ, they're not damned to an eternal hell, right?
Right.
So that's not something that you believe. Okay. So let me ask you, what led you to start thinking that way? Because that is not just a little bit off of what we were taught. That's like these people, like, you know, some people would say, man, this is totally left field, right? They're going to be like, wait a minute, this is totally out of the way. So is it just like scripture reading? Was it something that you heard? Like, what led you to start not even believing in an eternal damnation?
It's a combination of stuff. That's one of the things that wondering about growing up, but I always shoved it down and never looked more into it because it was just no way it could be right. It was so contrary to everything I'd ever been taught.
Right.
And it was something Caleb had been wondering about also. And right before we got married, he started seriously looking into it. I knew he was, so I started researching it myself, searching through the scriptures for it, trying to remove that filter, if you will.
Yeah.
That seeing that death automatically means hell. So what if death means death? And one of the verses that really stuck out to me when I started doing that was the wages of sin is death, not eternal fiery torture, just death.
Okay.
But the gift of God is eternal life. How could it be a gift to have eternal life if it's something you automatically have in one place or another?
Okay. So you're saying, I understand so what led? So you're like, okay, if it's an eternal life, right, is the gift, but wouldn't you live eternally in torment, so to speak? You know, so you're rethinking or relearning that when you hear the words like death and things. So you believe in eternal life, you just don't believe in eternal damnation. Is that
exactly.
Okay? I got you. So essentially, what you believe that is that if someone is that doesn't believe in Christ or God, they just earth the earth is their eternal, like, is their existence, right? So they die. They die and they're gone. They just stay here, right? Now, this is I'm just doing this because I'm trying to learn. This is, I like hearing different perspectives from people. Okay, so then, that what's led you into that path. So you got that verse. Were there some other verses that made you start really lining that up in that thinking?
Honestly, it's all through the entire Bible.
Okay.
Death mean death and life mean life, not death is eternal torture, life is eternal bliss. It's the whole message of the scriptures.
Okay. So when you start seeing the lens of things as life being, being with God, basically, I think that's the best way to put it. And then death meaning you just die. Right, you physically die, you expire, and it's just here, and there's no hell. Then in your mind, that means does that seem? And let's reverse this a little bit too. I want to make sure I'm understanding this as well. When you're looking at through it that particular lens, you begin to see the whole scriptures differently. Is that okay? Is that fair to say too? Like you see it kind of different. Okay. All right, so then let me ask you this, because I know I'm going to have listeners that's going to be like, you should have asked her this, or you should have asked her that, right? So let me ask you this, and I know you've already heard it, and I think I already know what your response is going to be, right? So then what would be your reconciliation with, like, the rich man who dies and was buried, and it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, okay? But what would be your response to someone that says, that talked or brings that story up?
I knew you were going to bring that
yes,
up.
Yes, yes. And I know what your answer is going to be, but I have to say it for the listener's sake. It's the only reason why I'm doing it. All right, but go ahead.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but that was actually a popular parable among the Pharisees that they told among themselves. So the Messiah, when he was talking to them, pulled out one of their own stories and kind of turned it on them. Remember at the end, he was saying, can I go back and tell my brothers? And he said they wouldn't listen even if somebody did come back from the dead. So he was just trying to show them, hey, even if this did happen, you still wouldn't listen. I know your hearts.
Gotcha. And I knew you're going to say that was a parable. Okay, so she doesn't believe that as a literal story. She believed that as a parable. And actually, I've read a lot of different people who have led to this belief because they just don't view God that way. They don't believe that God would be loving and just to damn people to an eternal hell. Okay, and that's kind of what kind of led them to that kind of belief. Is that kind of where you're looking at too when you think of God and who he is? You just don't see him doing that are putting people into an eternal damnation.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's not the Messiah I know. He would not have created people, given them that intrinsically immortal soul, knowing full well, because he can see everything, that they're never going to accept him.
Gotcha.
Knowing that they would just basically be kindling for hell.
Okay.
He gives them their choice. He gives them the gift of life, however short, on this earth, which is more than he had to give them even.
Right.
And if they, depending on what they do with that life he gave them, he can give them more. And if they don't, he's like, well, I tried. I had it sitting here for you, but I guess I just have to let you die now.
Okay. All right. So let me, ask you, I have to, because the thing is, I'm doing all of this because I want the listeners to know that there are other beliefs out there, because I know for some people, they're like, this is the only way that to believe. And so, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. One, okay. There are going to be some people that's going to be like, well, she must not truly be saved, right? So, yes, they're going to doubt your salvation, right? But none of that, you still believe the same way, right? You still believe that, you know, Jesus is the one that, you know, saves you from your sins. You still believe that. You just don't believe in the eternal damnation aspect of it. Is that right to say?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right, cool. So she still believes. So here's the thing. For some people, and I mentioned this on a podcast, like, that I released actually early last year. Me and my brother were talking about it. And there was a good friend of mine who, okay, there was the big debate that happened, like, I want to say like 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, where it was Bill Nye, the science guy, and like Ken Ham, and they were both having this big like argument and discussion about evolution and creationism, right? And I remember I was on my Twitter, and I tweeted, I was like, oh my, so how in the world can you believe in evolution? Yada, yada, yada. And one of my good friends who's a Christian, he comes to me, he says, Shelton, well, I'm a Christian and I believe in evolution. And I was like, say what? You know? So then what I forgot, or what I began to believe, is that, okay, sometimes people can force you and say, okay, in American Christianity, you all have to believe or think similarly. Like, you always have to think all the same way. But the whole thing is, salvation is all about Jesus Christ. So of course, if someone is saying that they're trying to get saved a different way, then we can talk about that or discuss that and say that. But a lot of other things just might be up to, you know, debate. We can literally have a discussion on that. It's not something that I if I was in a, and I don't want to seem like I'm bashing anyone, but if I, you know, had like a church or a school or whatever, I would, you know, I would want people to tell me if they have a difference of belief in my church or a different belief in my school. But then I would let them know and say, hey, I'm okay with you believing X, Y, and Z. Okay. Just make sure that, you know, just to, in order to stay with the curriculum here, if this comes up, you just teach what is taught here. However, you can believe differently, and I'm not going to let you go for it. I just want, just for continuity's sake, just do it like this for now. But then, you know, I would have, and then I think in a more, in like a high school setting, and like maybe even middle school, high school setting, we can really discuss, like, I would have topics like biblical discussions that where we can like have a difference of belief in different things and say, hey, the main thing is, you know, our faith in Christ, but there's some other things that we can debate. Like, okay, you believe that, you know, that God and evolution can coexist. Okay, let's discuss that. Let's discuss why we think, why there's some people that might think against that, and why some people that are thinking for that. And then, because I look at the Bible, or look at how Christians practice the Bible, almost like it's science. Like, for a lot of times, we're taking what we see, and we're just trying to apply it. And sometimes we don't apply it always correctly, because we're human beings and we're flawed people. So we're all not going to do things correctly. Because if what you're saying is true, then there's hundreds of years of American Christianity that we've been doing it wrong, right? You know? So then, you know, so you have that kind of thinking as well. So what I want, you know, you to think on is like, or to like discuss with the podcast, because I really want us to kind of discuss, you know, more things, is like, do you think that as a church, or as a church, or I mean, as a school and things of that nature, that we should be more like, if you don't agree with us 100% wholeheartedly, we should like let you go, like you're not no longer part of our churches or anything? Or do you think it should be more of a loving, discussing type of attitude or behavior that we should have with each other?
I guess it depends on the setting.
Okay.
In school, I can understand why they had to let us go.
Okay.
I don't think it was right how he verbally abused me.
Right.
I think it would have been much more appropriate to just say, like he did to Caleb, thank you for letting me know, because I want to maintain the integrity of the school. I'll find another person to replace you.
Right.
But when it comes to like a church family, you need to have that family mentality, I guess, like the loving, supporting. I want to understand why you believe this way. Let's talk it out. And if what you're saying makes more sense to what I believe, maybe I'll come to your side, or maybe I can show you versus help pull you back to the truth.
Gotcha.
But if you kick them out and shun them, how are you going to help them?
Gotcha. Okay. That makes complete sense. And I think, okay, so in what you believe is that, okay, in a church setting, like for a church, that we should be more loving. But if you're like being employed by that church, then you should probably abide by their standards in X, Y, and Z. Okay. So let me ask you though, because I just want to ask your opinion, because I think that was a very, you know, very mature answer. So then if you are employed by a church, does that mean that you need to believe like 100% of everything that they believe if you're employed by a church in your opinion? Or do you think that there might be just certain things that you might need to be let go on? Or like, what's your kind of opinion on that?
It doesn't exactly make sense to demand that to work for us, you must believe exactly how we believe and follow everything the way we demand of you, even your personal life, down to the very letter.
Right.
But if you signed a contract saying, yes, I'll abide by these things, then you're kind of bound by that.
Oh, I gotcha. So if you sign a contract saying that you believe X, Y, and Z, then you need to go ahead and if you don't believe X, Y, and Z, then you should probably say, no, I don't. Okay, gotcha. That's more of like an honesty and integrity type of discussion in that case. Okay, I gotcha. Because if you're going to say you believe something, then you should really believe it, right? I got you. All right. So I want to ask you, because I'm pulling up some stuff. Okay. Because you say when you look at life, or the words eternal life, or, you know, death as just those things, life and death, you see everything through a different lens. Okay. So I'll give you that. But let me ask you, what about the times that the Bible mentions hell? Okay. Is that like, in your opinion, is that like figurative? When they're mentioning this hell thing, is just more figurative, is more for people to get like a picture of something? Or what is your opinion about even that term hell?
Well, the word hell is actually translated, I think it was from the Greek or Hebrew, the word Sheol, which basically refers to a place of the dead, a body heap.
Mm. Okay, so body heap can go back even further with your belief than that when somebody dies without God. So tell me if I'm using your term and your belief system correctly. So if someone, you can legitimately say with this belief that someone died and went to hell, but the hell in your definition would be like a body heap, or them just staying in here, their soul will stay, you know, or their body, I mean, would stay just here on the, and so you can still say that, but mean differently from your vantage point than from someone else who means hell in a different way. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, and I'm going to use this, and you probably have heard all of this before, but in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 22, all right, and I know you might not have a Bible with you, so I'll just read the verse to you and tell me what you think about it. It says, but I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So what is that in your opinion? What do you think that, if it's not, because hell is that the body heat, but it's also talking about hell fire. Like there's actually like a fire attached with that. Or is that, or does that mean something else?
Well, if you think about it, you have a pile of dead bodies that are rotting and you want to get rid of them. The easiest way is to light a match and throw it on there. It'll burn until there's nothing left to consume. You know, the always consuming, never ending fire.
Okay.
It's not going to end until everything is gone. It has no more fuel left.
Okay. Okay. See, listen, this is good. This is real good. All right. So, in your opinion, I don't know if I have, I'm very open with people like having different like beliefs and everything. I'm very big on that. I want people to really to think for themselves, come up with their own conclusions on X, Y, and Z. All right. So I'm definitely okay with that. So then, all right. So then here's another thing. So in the Bible, I might have to think of some in the top of my head. Doesn't the Bible speak about like, not speak about like a second death, right? So what do you say? Because I feel like if what you're saying is true, that, you know, the people when they die without God, they just, you know, stay here, they don't go anywhere, then wouldn't what does, when the Bible talks about a second death, how does that kind of line up there?
You're getting into another controversial belief that the hell mindset has led us into.
Oh, okay.
The common view of heaven, as most Christians believe it, I'm not sure is entirely accurate.
Okay.
Best, I'm not as set in this belief as I am in the hell thing. I'm still studying it out.
Okay.
Best I can tell from the scriptures, when we die here on earth, our souls, if you will, are us, our life, our nefesh, doesn't go anywhere immediately. When Christ comes back, he will raise up everybody and have the judgment. He'll evaluate our lives, look at what we did with our lives, look at how we treated him, treated others, and if we are worthy of more life, if you will, we will enter into his kingdom. And those who aren't will just die and be done.
Okay, so this kind of, I think this is like more of, don't Jehovah's Witnesses more believe that this kind of belief, like a soul sleep, so to speak, to where when you die, you stay here on earth until like Jesus comes back and raises us all up. Is that more of their belief? I'm not sure, because I haven't studied their beliefs in a while.
I think so.
Okay.
It doesn't line up entirely from what I remember of reading some of their articles.
Okay.
But I believe it's closer than modern Christianity's view of it.
Gotcha. So then that, I kind of get it a little bit. So then it's like, okay, so then you die, and then after everyone dies, we stay here until Jesus comes back, right? And then when he raises us all up, we get, there's a judgment that happens. And then after that, there's a second death, so to speak, and it's not hellfire or, you know, damnation or whatever until in this case. But instead, it is a time where you go back to sleep, so to speak. Is that
right?
Gotcha. Okay. Then, man, because if I remember, but you said you're not so like set on this yet, because you're still trying to get with it. Okay, that makes sense. I just have a couple. Okay, I think I have like one question. I know it's in, man, boy, I think it's in Revelation. I'm gonna go look at this real fast. I think it's in Revelation when it talks about a second death. Okay, and I believe it's, man, I'm gonna have to go to it. Let me go ahead and look at it real fast.
I'm making you work.
Yes, you are making me work here. All right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. This is what I was thinking about. All right. And I think you're very, very familiar with this passage. So I'm gonna go with it and try to go. So in Revelation chapter number 20. Okay. This is a passage. I'm gonna read the passage to you, and then we can kind of discuss it a little bit. In verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay. So, okay. So let's just pause on that one for a second. So what do you, when you hear this verse or when you read this verse, do you think that, or do you really believe that the devil is the one is that the devil is being tormented in a place that's really called a lake of fire and brimstone? Or do you think this is mean something else?
I'm not entirely sure on that one either. I've got a couple different theories I'm working on.
Okay.
The one that I'm leaning towards is that, yes, it would make sense that he would have, the devil would be immortal because he was created differently than humans are, if that makes sense.
Right.
He may have been created to be immortal and live with Christ forever, but when he fell, he still has the immortal part of him.
Okay. Okay. All right. So,
and it was created for him.
Right. Yeah. I definitely believe that, like, hell and the lake of fire, all those things were created for the devil and his angels. Like, I firmly, like, I believe that. And okay, but we'll have to, I'll probably have to, okay, so let's move on. Let's move on from this for a second, because I think this is a good verse here to think on too, but let's keep on going. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 talks about this, these people that were talk about the devil being tormented day and night and cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Then verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Okay. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Okay. So in this verse, in verse number 12, all right, I can see someone that views the scriptures through your lens, right? And saying, okay, this is the time for the second death, so to speak, or life. So you have the life, or the sleep here, that where people go back, and I can see that. So okay, these are all people that were dead at one time. They're standing before God, and God is judging them out of the books, right? There's the book of life. There's all these different books here that they're being judged by. So I get that. And verse 13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and it says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Now, here's the thing. Okay, in verse 13, all right, it seems that there is a distinction between death and a distinction between hell, right? Because in verse 13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in them. And then it says, in the rest of it says, and death, one thing, and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So it's not like it's, because I know some people might say, well, you know, it's when they say death and hell, it's one thing together. But even with using the next word plural for them, it seems as if death is one entity, hell is another entity here. It looks like in this verse, and it says it delivered up the dead which were in them. So and then it says, and they were judged every man according to their works. OK, and then it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And then it says, this is the second death. Mm-hmm. All right. And then it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay. So I don't know. Like, I see where you're coming from. Don't get me wrong, I do. But I think Revelation chapter 20 kind of like shows like that there is a second death that includes a lake of fire, that, you know, of this sort. So are you thinking that in this case, I don't know, people will be in their second death, our bodies would be burned up alive? Is that kind of what you're thinking, or what are you thinking on that one?
You managed to touch on another thing that I'm not sure I believe in anymore.
Okay.
That I was raised believing. When I first started thinking into this, I was like, oh no, how do I even believe it? But just looking at history and sources and everything.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how big you are in King James Onlyism.
I'm not at all. And I know this probably be a shock to people that are listening, but I'm not huge into that. But I mean, that's just me though. I know other people are, so, but I'm not.
Yeah. I was raised that way.
Me too.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm not entirely sure that Revelation is even completely canon.
Oh, snap. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of the things they say, like the verses you pointed out, they don't really line up with what the rest of the scripture teaches. And if you go back and study like the trail and the sources and the authors and everything, it doesn't exactly match up. So a lot of people consider it apocryphal, and that's kind of what I'm leaning towards myself now.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Okay. So, and I see where you're coming from with that. Okay. But, okay, this is, I think that this is what someone would say who, from the an outside perspective, okay, this is what they're going to think. They're going to think that that you are disregarding Revelation only because it doesn't line up with what you believe. Right. You see what I'm saying? So they're like, well, of course you're going to want to throw out Revelation because it doesn't line up with, you know, what you think. Because I think what we do, okay, sometimes, and this happens with everybody, I think sometimes we have a belief and we try to have the scriptures match our belief instead of having our belief match with the scriptures, right? But I think, though, that there is an accurate, it is good to maybe to ask questions on things to be like, hey, I don't know if this lines up, you know, I don't really, you know about that. So I think that if someone can come to you, all right, and so let me ask you this way, and I think this might be a little bit helpful. If someone can come to you and actually show you 100% proof that Revelation is in the canon of scripture, would you then not know if would your belief be shaken in that way if someone could give you that proof that 100% that Revelation is in the canon? Or would it mean that we need to look at Revelation differently?
That we have to look at it differently, because we have to remember back then their language was totally different than ours is. Right. Their mindset, their belief, how they viewed everything was very different from how we see it, especially in today's Western culture.
Right, right.
That's another whole can of worms.
That's true. We can definitely talk on that. Like man, I'm going to have to probably have you back on and talk about some other stuff too. But I think nihilism is going to be new. I'm going to be 100% honest. It's going to be new to many of my listeners because they, you know, for a lot of them, they're like, this is what I believe, you know, this is what I believe. I don't want to stray away from it. And so this is going to be totally new information to them, right? So they're not going to be, there might be some people that are just going to be, that are going to be willing to listen. Right. But I want to make sure that I am I think that I want to have us discuss these things, because there's a lot of other things that I might want to have you back on to discuss, because I think that as in American Christianity, that we have made the scriptures, or we see the scriptures through an American lens.
Oh, yes.
And not through the lens of like just scripture, like in the context of the time. So a lot of times we try to make America like it was, like it's Israel. So like we take scriptures, like we say, like we use scriptures, like, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from the wicked ways, we use that scripture and we apply
to it.
Yes, we insert ourselves, like we're like, boom, this is us. This is who is talking to us.
And no, it's not.
No, not at all. Like I heard something that a professor told me one time. It's so key to this, to that discussion for that, is that everything in the Bible is written for you, but not everything in the Bible is written to you. Exactly. So we got to really see, you know, scriptures through that lens. And I think that would be so, 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 so good. So now, I think this is a good discussion. I think this is, will have a lot of people talking, a lot of people thinking on what we're talking about, what we're discussing. I know that there's going to be, I'm going to get a ton of messages from people that are like, you should have told her this, or you should have asked her this. But I'm going to have
you. It was controversial.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to have you back on, though. I think I want to talk to you about some other things, too, besides probably this discussion about nihilism in general. Just want to ask you some other things, too. And so that'll be good. But at least for now, I think the listeners could like listen, could learn, can like get something from your discussion, from what you've been teaching. And before you go, I'm just going to ask you just one thing before you leave here. And there's a lot of people, okay, who they have decided that they're not going to church right now for like a ton of different reasons. It's not just a belief system. For a lot of times, it's like from a lot of different things why people have decided to leave. And I want to ask you, what could you say to the people that are like, you know, still going to church faithfully, who are, you know, who's going there all the time? What do you think that the churchgoers and what we can do to just be better so we're not turning more people away from church? And it's, for some people, it starts off being away from church, and eventually it's just being away from God in general. So, you know, what do you think that, you know, Christians should do to be better in our interactions with people?
Well, I'm still going to church. We found another small church after we left.
Yeah.
And it's helped us piece ourselves back together, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess just focus more on the people.
Mm.
Don't get so turned off by their skin color or what they're wearing or if they have a belief that differs from you. Focus on them. Talk to them. Try to see why they believe the way they do. Learn together. Grow together. Yeah.
Okay. That's good. That's so, so good. So I think that, you know, as Christians that you guys are all of us that are listening, we're going, you know, you're going to church, you're doing our thing. Let's focus on people. And I know that there are people in our churches that believe differently on whatever than we do. But that doesn't mean that they don't have any value to them anymore. And I think sometimes we view people that way, like, oh, you don't believe like how I do. Well, I don't think that you're valuable to us anymore. And I think that that's so dangerous to believe that, you know, like if we believe that, you know, that we're made in the image of God and that we have, you know, if we have value just be based upon that, then we need to start treating people like they have value instead of only treating people who have value that fit into our groups. Oh, if you believe the same way we do, if you think the way, you know, if you, oh man, if you're with us, then we're, you know, then you're with us. If you're not with us, then you're against us. Having that mentality is really hurtful for people. And that's why a lot of people, they leave a church. And guess what, Amber, you're one of the good ones who they left the church. But then at the same time, they found a different church. I've talked with a lot of people who they left one church and they're still searching. They're still trying to find a church because or they're just so hurt from a church. They don't even have the strength emotionally to even try to find a different church right now. So I'm so happy and excited that I found a community of people that love you, that care about you, that care for your soul. And that still are treating you like a person, or treating you and your husband like people, and not just something that, oh, you don't believe like us? Well, boom, we're done away with you, you know? And I'm so happy that you found a church for you, man. So I'm excited about that. And I really want to thank you so, so much for being on my podcast today, for sharing what you believe. And like I said, I want to have you back on to share other things that we can discuss about American Christianity and different belief systems. But I really think that what we've done so far is really helpful for our community. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, no problem. So, all right, guys, this is another installment of the Weird Pastor's Kid podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Peace.